Hey there, listeners. It's Shayna Roth. As many of you probably know, I was at the Mackinac Island Policy Conference this past week, and I got to speak to some really exciting people. And what we wanted to do was to bring to you all of those interviews. And that's what this extra special bonus episode is going to be. Last but most certainly not least, we have my interview with Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist. All right, Lieutenant Governor, I want to kick things off by talking about free community college for high school seniors in Michigan. This is something that you have been pushing for. Is this going to be possible in this year's budget?
It is absolutely possible. That's why the governor and I introduced it in our budget recommendation. And we think it's important. You know, if we take a step back to last year when the Growing Michigan Together Council was formed, one of the takeaways from that council's report is that we needed to create more pathways to professional certification in higher education and do so in a way that was affordable for more people. We're building on the success of the Michigan Reconnect program that we introduced several years ago that provides tuition-free pathways to community college for everyone over the age of 21. But by opening that up to every graduating high school senior, that is saying that each of them will have the opportunity to be able to go to the first 2 years of community college tuition-free and then chart a path from there. Some people, that's going to be all the education they need to get started in their career. Some people are going to, you know, parlay that into a professional certification. Others are going to go on to four-year college. And it's really, I think, about laying a foundation that says that there's a pathway after high school for you to be the professional you want to be the person you want to be, the entrepreneur you want to be, and everyone deserves a shot at that.
Staying on the education beat, but in the opposite direction, you've been promoting Governor Whitmer's proposal for universal pre-kindergarten for all Michigan kids. Now, lawmakers haven't necessarily been convinced. What is your pitch for this program?
Well, as the parent of a four-year-old who is completing pre-K at the end of next week, the pitch is that this is critical in order for our children to be able to not only meet their early milestones, but to be able to understand that there are more adults in the community who love and care about them, that they're safe, and help us be on a trajectory for kids to meet their educational milestones throughout the rest of their education. So I don't think there is no argument against pre-K for every child. Let me just be very clear about that. What the pitch is that we need to do this now. Governor Whitmer and I, we proposed that we would be able to get to universal pre-K by the end of our second term in 2026, but we have an opportunity, a generational one, to make this the reality for people starting this fall. And so my argument to the legislature, and I had this conversation and was joined by Senator Kevin Hertel, for example, in Grosse Pointe, just this past week to talk about this policy, is that we must not miss this moment and that we have a pathway to be able to not only fund this sustainably, but to be able to make sure that we are making provision with our child care providers as well as with our public school systems to be able to have the space, to be able to have the staffing so that these pre-K experiences can be excellent. And we're ready to get this done now. And so I hope that they will take note and will follow suit and we'll get it done so that on July 1st, school districts and other families know that they can make this happen.
Yeah, and they've been working on the budget for quite a while now, it seems like. Do you think this is going to get across the finish line?
I continue to be confident. And you know, look, they're working hard. Everybody's working hard. That's our job. Our job is to make sure this budget is done by the end of June. And we are hoping that we can see these two policies in it that lay a foundation for our future. Investing in education is something that we have had bipartisan consensus on for all five and what will soon be six budgets that we've been able to propose with record funding. Look, we've had record funding for K-12 education. We've increased funding for higher education every single year. We've increased funding for child care every single year. And so now we're looking forward to take this next step on pre-K and on community college.
You've worked a lot in the juvenile justice and criminal justice reform arena. What are you most proud of in that space?
Well, I'm proud of the coalition that has come together to make each one of those bill packages bipartisan, whether it was the bipartisan jails task force, the Teflon Jail and Pretrial Incarceration that I chaired with the former Chief Justice of the Michigan Supreme Court, Bridget McCormick. And we passed a 19 bill package that was based on 19 recommendations from that task force in early 2020. And that did things like make sure that people were not getting put into jail because of things that had to do with how they drive. Get put in jail because they didn't have enough money to be able to pay driver's license fees and stuff like that. I'm really proud of that juvenile justice task force reform, which when we decided to go upstream from the jail reform stuff, it made the most significant reforms to our juvenile justice system and how it was funded and supported in more than 40 years on a bipartisan basis, recognizing that that system was positioning children for success and not failure. But we updated and upgraded it, and now it's doing better. But if I have to pick one, I would say it is the work that we did on a bipartisan basis to create the most progressive and expansive and inclusive automatic criminal record expungement program in the country called Clean Slate. This went into effect on April the 13th of 2023. And since then, we have cleared more than 2 million offenses from people's records. Almost 300,000 Michiganders are now record free, which means they are able to get an apartment. They're able to get a mortgage. They're able to get a job because they don't have this thing on their record because they've been offense free for more than 5 years. They didn't commit assaultive crimes or violent crimes in the first place. Things that should not have been an albatross to stop a person from being able to sell insurance or open a store or be a barber. We are finally removing these barriers, and this is going to make up to a million people job eligible over the next 10 years. It is the most amazing way to make, we have so many communities where we need people to be workers, where we need people to work in childcare, where we need people to work in retail, and this is going to make so many more people eligible than we ever could imagine.
Is there anything that you are seeking from the legislature right now in that realm?
I mean, there's always a conversation about opportunities to do more things. And so we have still things that can be implemented in the juvenile justice reform report that we did, and still things that can be implemented in the jail reform report. So I won't handicap anything individually, but just say that there's always more progress to be made.
And obviously, we have an election coming up. It seems like November is just closer and closer. You can almost taste it. Do you plan to do a lot of campaigning for Democratic candidates?
I've already been doing a lot of campaigning for Democratic
candidates. Tell me
about it. I never stopped. I mean, like, look, we have this slim yet strong Democratic majority in both chambers of the legislature for the first time in 40 years alongside Governor Whitmer and I. And we've worked to show people that Democratic governance is worth voting for, so that when now retirees in Michigan, 500,000 people are getting their full retirement and on a pathway to do that because we repealed the retirement tax that Republicans imposed on, you know, fixed incomes and people with pensions. When it comes to, you know, we made the working families tax credit 5 times larger than it was because the Republicans gutted it more than 13 years ago. When we have been able to give people the chance to organize and have their rights respected at work, implement prevailing wage, we've done amazing things. And I'm looking forward to telling that story about how Democratic governance has impacted Michigan life, our economy, has set us up to be the strongest state in the country when it comes to responding to climate change. That's a great story to tell about Michigan's present and Michigan's future. Everybody in Michigan deserves access to a dream of health and wealth, and Democrats are going to be the ones that can help deliver that. And we will certainly welcome Republicans to come along the ride, but it's clear that the Democratic majority will get that done more effectively and more quickly for more people and more communities across Michigan.
Given that the presidential candidate Joe Biden, presumed presidential candidate Joe Biden, seems to be lacking excitement, maybe, like, what are you hearing on the ground about Biden? And should Democrats be focusing more on the message that you're talking about as opposed to the individual candidates?
So campaigns are about the future, first and foremost, and they are about both of those things. They're about, you know, what we're talking about and who's talking about it. I think with this campaign here this year, one, you're going to see the presence of the vice president and the president a whole lot in the state of Michigan. And that has been evidenced already here in 2024. The state of Michigan is one of the states they've visited the most. And that's going to continue to be true. And I think what this election is about is for people to understand that our vision for the future includes them. The biggest difference between, especially on the national level, Democrats and Republicans, I think, is that the Democratic vision actually includes everyone. It is big enough for all of us. And the Republican vision is trying to find ways to exclude people. It's trying to find ways to exclude immigrants. It's trying to find ways to exclude women, find ways to exclude black people and people of color, find ways to just write people out of the future. And instead, we're giving people the pen to write themselves into that future. And I think, again, that access to health and wealth is really important. And the Biden-Harris administration has a strong story to tell. The Democrats in our congressional delegation have strong stories to tell. The Democrats in our state legislature have strong stories to tell, and I'm going to help them tell it.
Finally, you and the governor just announced a new initiative to increase the state's 5-year housing goal and to lower energy costs for 28,000 low-income households. What are we doing there?
This is super exciting to me because, look, In every community in Michigan that I visit, I hear about two things: access to mental health resources and the fact that housing is unaffordable and inaccessible. We set an aggressive goal of 75,000 to build 75,000 units, and we are ahead of schedule. That is because we have been doing the work. Our Michigan State Housing Development Authority, or MSHDA, has been super hard at work under Director Hovey's leadership. And that's why when we know we're going to accomplish a goal, we need to set a new one and a bigger one, because in Michigan, we're very ambitious. So this is going to help there be more programs for people to afford more homes, more down payment assistance, more rehabbed homes, more new homes being built. That's exciting. But when we build these homes, we got to build them in the right kind of future forward way. So that's why pulling in this $367 million from the federal government that the Biden-Harris administration made available, that no Republicans in our congressional delegation voted for, these programs are going to help people be able to save money to get energy efficient appliances, to get new stoves, to get new dryers, to get heat pumps and air conditioners that are more efficient and more effective, and that are going to last for a generation and are going to save them money. We're talking hundreds of dollars every month for people for the things that suck up the most energy in their home, that their appliances. And so I think that making this available to the people who have the least amount of wealth in Michigan is what's going to make the most amount of difference. So that's why we're focused on that. You know, there should be equitable access to a clean energy future, and Michigan's going to be a leader in that.
Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station, in collaboration with the Gongwer News Service. Mishmash is hosted and produced by me, Shayna Roth, and Gongwer's Zach Gorchow, and the beautiful Olivia Kasman.
Additional production and editing by Hearns Laguerre Jr., mixing, mastering, and music by Sam Bobian.
Our digital team is Dave Kim, Sophia Joswiak, and Jenny Sherman. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. As always, if you listen to this show and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review or comment wherever you listen. You can also subscribe or follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell your friends how much you've learned from Mishmash, and please send them a link. Learn more about Gongwer News Service at gongwer.com.
Remember, we're produced by a public radio station, which means we are listener supported. So if you really, really like this podcast, you can support WDET by going to wdet.org/give. We'll talk to you next week.